They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Hard times at Microsoft.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Companies that aren't used to seeing that much adversity are sure seeing it now. This morning, Microsoft said it will lay off up to 5,000 people in the next 18 months. Keep in mind, Microsoft has never made significant job cuts. The company did make a profit last quarter, but it fell short of Wall Street's mark. Sony, on the other hand, says it might post a record loss, its first loss in 14 years. Sony plans to cut 30% of its personnel costs in the next year. Demand for PCs and TVs is obviously lower, but demand for new homes, it's at the bottom of the ocean. The numbers out this morning wrap up the worst year for builders since at least 1959. More on that from Ashley Milne-Tight.
New housing starts sank by 15.5%. Applications for new building permits also fell to an all-time low. Joel Naroff is president of Naroff Economic Advisors.
Well, it looks like developers and builders have essentially given up trying to do anything in this market right now. There's really no demand out there. They can't cut their prices enough to match the foreclosure prices.
He says the level of foreclosures will stay high all year, helping to keep house prices down. But he says for all the cheap existing homes on the market, many buyers still want something brand new. He believes new home starts could hit bottom this quarter and that construction will start creeping back up in the spring. Naroff says as for the homes that are going up, since builders are looking to cut costs and buyers want to spend less, many homes are being built smaller. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
On top of the housing numbers, the Labor Department had this news on the job market. 589,000 people applied for unemployment benefits last week. That's a lot. And so far, the Dow has given up a lot of the points it gained yesterday. It's down 153 points to 8,074. The NASDAQ is down 44, which is almost 3%. The S&P 500 is down a couple percent, 18 points. There were gains overseas today. Japan's Nikkei climbed almost 2%. European shares are a little bit higher so far. Congress has started work on the $825 billion stimulus package. But already, Republicans are raising some objections. Today, two committees will look at tax cuts and the infrastructure spending. More from John Dimsdale.
The House Ways and Means Committee must sign off on the tax cuts in the stimulus package. The proposal would give workers a payroll tax credit of as much as $1,000 a year for married couples. Democrats say people are likely to spend that money because it increases their take-home pay. But Republican Kevin Brady, a Ways and Means member from Texas, doesn't think so.
It really won't stimulate the economy. I mean, I think that for an average worker, it gives you $1.35 a day more in your paycheck, yet it gives a family almost $7,000 in added debt because of the spending.
The bulk of that spending is for traditional infrastructure like highways and public transportation. But there are also a variety of energy, science, and technology projects like broadband networks for underserved areas. Those will be taken up today by the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Republicans say it'll take years before such spending creates jobs. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
It hasn't been a good week for financial stocks. Investors are dumping bank shares left and right because they can't see a prosperous future in the banks. There's been little success with the government's bailout, and more government investment might be coming. Shareholders have to be thinking the taxpayers will come first, not them. So that's prompted some discussion about nationalizing the banks. We're joined by our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, we've sunk billions into the banks. Aren't we already on the path to nationalization?
Well, we have, what term should we use? Creeping nationalization. If you think about with Bank of America and Citigroup, and we have a stake in these big banks and they're too big to fail. So we have this creeping nationalization. But we also have the sense, Scott, that we need something different, a different program, that we're moving back toward this world of haphazard, ad hoc rescues, shifting from crisis to crisis. And so this is why, is it the right move to nationalize the U.S. banking system, that essentially the government, you and I, become the owner of the banking system in order to shore it up?
How could we do it?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why it seems far-fetched is we have a very large, very diverse banking system. And plus, we also have credit unions that are really part of our banking system. And this is what's having people struggle a little bit. You know, what would nationalization look like here? Do you just nationalize the really big ones, the ones that are too big to fail? Mm-hmm. But then how does that affect the ones that aren't going to be nationalized? And here's the nub of the problem. Banks have a lot of really bad assets. So there are a couple of solutions. One is isolate them, right? Put them in some sort of bad bank or something like that. So you put a ring around them. Another one is to say, you know, we just can't figure this out. So what we're going to do is just have the government nationalize the banking system and we'll recapitalize the banking system this way. We'll bring money into it. We'll get rid of the bad assets. We'll dress them up and we'll sell them back to the private sector.
Yeah, I could imagine, though, Chris, that doing this would be A, very, very costly, and B, those toxic assets are scary and we could plunge ourselves even further into problems.
But the thing is, you need to do something, right? No one wants the government to own the banks. But the feeling is growing that we have to consider this, that that may be a precondition of getting private capital to come into the banking system again.
Is there enough support for that idea?
No, I don't think there's enough support for that idea. I think there's a discussion going on among the elites. It's going on among the economists. It's out there. It's being discussed. But no, I still don't see support in the United States for nationalization of the banking system. No.
Okay, our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.